You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and this is a special edition of the show. It's not special for you if you're just listening. It's just a regular, edition of the program, but for those on the brand new Kings of Sport Patreon feed, you are seeing Marcus and myself right now. This is what we look like. So hopefully all your mental images, the theater of the mind, we're not disappointing. But yeah, this is going to be fun. We're going to add a new component to the program. So I, of course, am the Godfather Nate Milton, and I am joined from his studio. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. I'm ready for my close-up. Vandenberg, how you doing this week, brother?
I didn't get the memo about having a background.
I mean, so you know what I'm saying? Everybody can't plan ahead. You know what I'm saying, Marcus? If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So I'm repping my Falcons. I'm probably showing more pride in the Falcons than the Falcons themselves at this point of the season.
So this means you're rooting for the Rams, right?
I saw that despicable post by the Falcons. Like, normally I like their Twitter page, but I'm not out here trying to beg and plead for the Rams to beat Drew Brees just because we couldn't.
You can jump on the bandwagon. I'll save you a seat. We will take care of your precious new stadium. We will not defame it. We will do better than the New Orleans fans who will come to town.
See, Marcus, I think, these Falcons fans who want the Rams to beat the Saints, they're short-sighted. I like the long game, Marcus. I like to, you know, I don't want my pettiness to be doled out quickly. I like my pettiness to have time to marinate. So I want Drew Brees and them boys to win and come to Atlanta and enjoy the festivities and then get destroyed in the Super Bowl by Patrick Mahomes. That's what I want, Marcus.
That could be nice, too.
So yeah, let's talk some NFL first, because this will be a shorter show than usual. Actually, let me amend that, Mark, because I think most of our shows from now on will be around the hour mark.
Yes.
As a result of A, our schedule's getting busier, but B, because we're having more bonus content through the Patreon, you know, we're going to retract a little bit on the mothership or the brothership that is the Kings of Sport podcast. But we're not taking anything from you.
We sold out. Just say it. We sold out.
We didn't sell out, Marcus. We bought in.
Mm.
Use the Jeff Jarrett turn of phrase.
Ain't I
great? Not as great as that Patreon page, Marcus Vandenberg. I got to send some shout-outs, too, since we're already here. We had this moment. The Patreon was launched this afternoon when I got in from work this Friday, Friday the 18th of January. And we got four patrons, Marcus.
Shout them out.
If it'll let me look at them. Actually, I got them in my emails. Because that's the cool thing about it. Like, everybody, they send you an email whenever you get a new patron. And it's like a little... It's like a little pat on the head. All right, so we've got four patrons at the moment. Want to send a shout out to Faz Iqbal. I believe that's how you say it. Iqbal. So shout out to you, Faz. We appreciate your patronage. Scott Criscola is a patron. Scott, part of that Place to Be Nation crew. I do the main event show with Scott. So thank you, Brother Scotty. Steve Willie, who has been on the show before.
Hey, Steve. Yeah.
Steve Willie is a patron. So shout out to Brother Steve. And, of course, the professor, Christopher Marquis Ely, who is one of the, like, this brother puts his money where his mouth is. He's an executive producer with Post Wrestling, with their cafe. And he is the first person to sign up for the $40 level, the What You Got on My 40, homie, tier for the Kings of Sport Patreon.
And do you want to explain what KME is going to get himself into?
Yes, we got four different tiers for the Patreon. There's actually a podcast, Marcus. I dropped a special bonus episode letting the good people know what the different tiers were. But we got a $5 tier, which is basically, you know, you get your shout out. And that can be for you personally or, you know, a member of your family or a charitable organization you want to shout out. And you get this right here, this lovely video version of the Kings of Sport podcast. And I don't know, Marcus, if it's just you getting older, but the older you get, the more I see, like, you got, like, a little, like, young Ice-T, like, first season when he was on SVU vibe coming through right now.
Is it the hair?
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Are you there, Marcus?
I'm here. Oh, wait. Yeah, I'm here. Did we lose Nate Milton here? Nate is currently frozen on my screen. Let's see if he comes back. There we go, Nate.
There we go.
You're back.
The magic of technology.
And video. Think, the video podcast will capture all of this awkwardness.
Yeah. I think the internet stream knew that I was going to be petty, and so it started to slow down, because I was going to say, like, you got, like, a Ice-T, like, when he first joined SVU, like, the early season vibe going on tonight.
See? God don't like elderly. Neither is your bandwidth provider.
I didn't know I was going to be hosting a show with Detective Finn Tutuola.
Oh, man.
How can I pronounce that and not Tua's last name?
That's a good point.
But yeah, the $5 Patreon tier, you get the video version of the show and a shout-out from me and Marcus. The $9.99 tier, you know, we figured that was a hot price rate, you know, these days, Marcus. That's the tier where you get access to all the bonus podcasts. $20, two turntables and a microphone. You choose the music for the audio version of the podcast that we come in and out of the breaks for. And you can also record a rant up to 3 minutes about a person, a team, something going on in the world of wrestling, and Marcus and I will give our take on your hot take that you send us. So make it good, make it count. And the What You Got on My 40, homie, the pinnacle of the Kings of Sport tiers. You gain access to everything that I just said, plus you get to co-produce and co-host an episode of the show. Your topics, your takes, and, you know, it's your show. So Chris, for his $40, we'll get to whenever we can find a time and place to record the show. Chris will get to have a show with all his topics, and he's steering the conversation. So I'm expecting a lot of Kobe talk.
The mayor of Kobe Stan, KME. I'm sure we'll come in and debate why James Harden is no Kobe Bryant, and why Kobe Bryant's 05-06 season is superior than James Harden's 2018-2019 campaign. So I expect that conversation to be happening in the near future.
Yeah, so whatever you want to talk about, like, if you want to come on and talk about basketball, if you want to come on and have a whole hockey theme show with you and Marcus, which, you know, I'll be here, but
you'll be in the penalty box.
I'll be watching Dwayne Johnson movies in the corner, getting ready for my other show, and I'll let you and the patron talk about hockey for an hour.
Do you want to plug that show as well, since we're out here whoring?
I'll save it for the end. I like to parcel it out, Marcus.
Okay.
So yeah, let's let the people know about the Patreon up front. So that's the Kings of Sport Patreon. It's live now. Marcus and I are going to be adding new stuff to it. I think as of right now, when you're listening, there'll be this version of the show with the video version of the podcast. There'll be the introductory podcast that I did to explain in the Patreon. And there'll be the first show of Chris. Like, I think Chris just wants to overtake our show from the inside. Because not only is he going to be producing his own show with us,
he has his
but
own.
He's got his own show on the Patreon feed. The 20 Twin Twin is his political show. Do you know why the show is named that, Marcus Vandenberg?
I don't.
Well, I had the bright idea because I was coming off of the Rocky Maivia picture show.
Which is a whole
lot. I thought that was a, like, you know, I can't be stopped when it comes to naming these podcasts. So I'm like, Chris, you want to come on? We're going to do a show, 20 to 30 minutes per candidate. It's going to be fun. I got an idea. It's going to be called 2020 Vision. That's hot, right? That's hot, Chris. He's like, yeah, that's a good name. So then I went and made sure I had to go and Google it first to make sure nobody had used it. There's about 5 different political podcasts right now, Marcus, using the name 2020 Vision. Okay. And in addition to that, there's like 15 or 20 individual episodes of podcasts named 2020 Vision.
Is it based on the election or just something separate?
Most of them are based on the election. And so I was like, that's not good. I don't want to be the 6th podcast with that name. And so, you know, I started thinking, Chris is from Los Angeles. Let's just say he's from Compton. Let's put him in Craig and Smokey's neighborhood and boy in Friday. And one of the best scenes for Friday is when Smokey's like, you know, around here we call this a 20 twin twin.
Ah.
And so I'm like, okay, 2020. We gonna call this the 20 twin twin, Chris. And he didn't argue, so that's what we call it for now.
Speaking of Friday, this came up a couple weeks ago on Andres' Twitter feed. What's your favorite Friday movie, Nate?
Out of the 3 Fridays that
out of the 3.
Available?
Yep.
The first Friday is the best movie. The second Friday, here's the thing, Marcus. Okay.
The second one is.
The first Friday to me is the best movie from start to finish out of the 3 of them. It's the most coherent film.
Mm-hmm.
The third Friday has my favorite gag of any of the Fridays when, I think we've talked about it on the show before, when Ricky Smiley is playing like the bad Santa.
Yes.
And he steals the bag and he's doing like the primetime Deion Sanders and then gets hit by the car. That's my favorite gag out of any of the Friday movies. But I think overall, part 2 is my favorite, Friday After Next.
What?
With Craig and I don't know, like, Mike Epps is not Smokey, but I think Mike Epps.
Oh, you
got Day-Day, you got Uncle Elroy, and then you got, you know, our Latino brothers and sisters, you got Baby Joker in the movie.
I have never met anyone who, of the 3, enjoyed the second one the most.
Yeah, I think because like Friday, the first Friday is a better movie. It's
that's
far and away the best film out of the 3. But if in terms of just like what makes me laugh the most, I think Friday After Next might have the biggest completion percentage.
Wow,
because it's a stupid.
You mean next
it's
Friday?
It's a dumber
yeah.
film.
Yeah, I'm a Friday
yeah,
After
next Friday.
Guy.
Next Friday. Yeah,
I like the third one. I know it's
you
not
like
it's,
the Christmas movie.
It's not as good.
No,
as the first Friday, but
how you gonna come at me when you like Friday After Next?
What's wrong with Friday After Next?
I mean,
that's Pete Cat Williams right there.
So it's pre-crack Cat Williams.
Allegedly.
Do we have to be more careful now that we're on video and people can see our faces?
Maybe. of course, Andreas was writing for the original Friday and thought the other two were not in the ballpark of the first one, but the third one I think is still funny to me.
Third one is funny. Third one has some really good moments. I think, but I think the side characters in Next Friday, whether you're talking about Baby Joker or whether you're talking about Pinky, that's where we first meet Pinky.
Yeah.
And then Michael Rapaport, before people started hating Michael Rapaport as the mail carrier. He's like, "What team do you play for?" Cucamonga Cracker Killers. Well, I hope the Cracker Killers play well, because this is an eviction notice, and that means back to the ghetto you go.
All right, you need to go back and watch the second one again.
Yeah, the second one's not bad. Like, it's neither the second or the third are better than the first as a film, but I think the second one is just sillier and funnier in its own way than the first one. Because the first one, like, has some real dramatic moments. Like, with Pops and Craig, and son, you know, we fought with these. Yeah. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but you live. Like, John Witherspoon was actually acting in the first one. And I think by the time we get to the second and third movies, he's just like one big fart joke.
Pretty much.
You know what? Like, I think this video thing, Marcus, is going to have positives and minuses. I think the positives are the show, like, will probably feel a bit more loose. The negative is we've been talking for like 15, 20 minutes and we haven't gotten to the NFL, which is what we're supposed to be talking about here in the A-Block, Marcus Vandenberg.
What does that say about football? Is football broken? No, football is healthy. I'm excited about Sunday, but what about
last year, I think we talked about it before on the show. Last year, I was down the NFL.
Yeah, so was I.
This year, I've been, from start to finish, I've enjoyed the season.
I've enjoyed the season. Oddly, the taking the knee has not been a storyline. It's been, I don't want to say whitewashed, but it's been erased. And I think it kind of helps having a new black superstar quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. See, I don't want to throw hate on my man Patrick Mahomes, because I like Patrick Mahomes a lot, Marcus Vandenberg.
Uh-oh, here we go.
And what I'm going to say is going to sound like I'm throwing shade on him, but I'm not. I'm just acknowledging the perception from the outside.
See how you do our people, Nate? Go ahead.
I'm just saying, Marcus, I think Patrick Mahomes is great, and, like, I'm a big fan. But I do think he comes in a package that's easier for some people to accept than if Patrick Mahomes looked like Lamar Jackson. Let's just say that.
What are you trying to say?
Just trying to say, brother, sometimes, you know, it's not just about black or white, Marcus. There's shades, there's levels to this.
Shades of yellow? What'd you say? What was that?
There's levels to this, Marcus. Like, the way Cam Newton is perceived might be different than the way Patrick Mahomes is perceived.
To be fair, Cam Newton is polarizing for other reasons, too.
I mean, He was on a pretty good behavior this season.
This season, but I mean, the Cam's damage has been done. I mean, the female reporter,
that was last season, right?
That was last year.
Okay, so yeah, Cam hadn't had any big missteps this year off the field.
No, but I mean, it's at this point, you only get a chance for first impression once, right? And his first impression was going back to college, to be honest. I mean, going all the way back to Florida when he had the incident there. So either you like Cam or you don't like Cam. Patrick Mahomes, I think all we know about him is his voice is Kermit the Frog-esque.
We know his dad played professional baseball, and we know he talks like a Muppet.
Pretty much. That's it.
And he's great. Like, he reminds me of Deshaun Watson when Deshaun Watson first came in, but he's already more polished because he had a year to sit down and watch and learn behind Alex Smith and learn from Andy Reid. So yeah, I'm excited, man. Like, the first game, let's talk about the first game first, because I know that's what you really wanted to talk about, Marcus Vandenberg.
Yes.
You got your Los Angeles Rams headed down to New Orleans to take on Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, who I'm rooting for. I want to see them rise so they can fall.
Rise up, huh? I am not feeling optimistic about this game. Mm. I would feel a lot better if this game was in L.A., but they blew that opportunity when they lost to the Saints in the regular season. So
yep.
Stadium's in New Orleans. The Superdome is not a fun place to play in the playoffs if you're your opponent. You got to remember, Jared, this is, what, year three for Jared Goff or year two? Year three.
Yeah, this is year three because he had the first year.
The first year was bad, and then last year he was good.
He came back, and then this year is his third year.
I think the offense won't be the issue. I think it will be the defense. The defense has not lived up to the hype. I mean, they have a lot of talent on paper, but for whatever reason, they have not really gelled. And the Saints aren't the team that really you want to have defensive issues against.
Yeah.
So I think the Saints are going to win this game. I think it'll be close, but I give the advantage to the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints have a sneaky defense. Like, they're not a great defense, but they come up big when it counts.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think it'll be close, at least through halftime, but I think the Saints will pull away eventually. To me, the best shot the Rams have is to keep it on the ground and to keep the ball out of Drew Brees' hands.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, the way Brees is playing and the way Michael Thomas is playing, and then you got that two-headed monster with Kamara and Ingram.
Yeah.
Like, they're tough to beat. Like, there's not – if you focus on one thing, you're going to leave yourself open to another thing. And they've got that home – like, a legitimate home field advantage. You know, not just, oh, they're playing at home. But playing in that dome is different than, you know, playing somewhere else on the road. So – I think the Saints take it. It's close early, but I think they end up winning by 10.
I think the guy to keep an eye on is CJ Anderson, who came on strong at the end of the regular season.
Where the hell's he been?
Eaton. That's where he's been. and he was someone who probably ran the ball better than Todd Gurley last week against the Cowboys. I mean, Sean McVay's game plan was to control the ball. And the Rams ran the ball 48 times against the Cowboys and won the game.
Yep.
That's not a bad strategy against the Saints because it will keep the ball out of their hands. But, you know, you never know. If they're able to shut down the run, then they'll have to rely more on Jared Goff. But Anderson has looked pretty fresh. Maybe this is a strategy that teams should start employing where you know you're going into a playoff run, maybe pick up an edge to running back who has fresh legs.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you could tell CJ Anderson's been training. Like, he looks like he's been eating the diet of a national championship winning football team. we'll get to that in the B block in segment four. But yeah, I think the Rams have a chance. Like, any of these four teams, if they gotten to this point, they have a chance.
Yeah.
But I am leaning towards both home teams. So I'm going with the Saints in this game, and then in the second game, some would say the main event of the night, if you're not from L.A. or New Orleans, you got the Patriots taking on the Chiefs. The Patriots did what they needed to do, whooped up on your L.A. Chargers, Marcus. I remember when you were a Chargers fan for like 2 seconds. That didn't last long.
I mean, I don't dislike the Chargers.
But yeah, this is going to be an interesting one, man, because you've got so much attention paid to the experience level between Brady and Mahomes. But honestly, I think it's going to come down to the coaches. And will Belichick be able to scheme for Patrick Mahomes? Because in that last game, even though the Patriots won, Mahomes put up a lot of points on him.
Yeah. We should point out that both of these games are rematches from the regular season.
Yeah.
The Patriots-Chiefs game was at Foxborough, and it was it's probably up there with the Rams Chiefs game in terms of regular season games of the year. And the Patriots won. It was like 43-40, maybe. It was a high scoring affair.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about coaches, I would put my money on Belichick. The track record's there. Andy Reid, I mean, this is sort of what the Chiefs do, right? This is sort of what Andy Reid does. He gets you to the championship game, and This is where usually he falters out. And it would be, I think, crushing for a Chiefs fan to get to this point and lose at home, to especially to the Patriots. But
yeah,
I can't bet against the Patriots, even on the road, even though they haven't won a road game.
Yeah, well, see,
in the playoffs since 2006.
The road woes, and then also Gronk isn't really Gronk.
Gronk isn't, now, yeah.
Granted, they didn't need him against the Chargers, but I think with Kansas City, if Kansas City can get a lead early and keep their foot on the gas pedal, I don't know if New England can keep up with them on the road. Now, on the other hand, though, I think if we get into a game where you're seeing a lot of Sony Michel and a lot of short passes from Brady, I think that's going to just frustrate the Kansas City defense, which is not a great defense. They might have the worst defense of any of the teams remaining.
Oh, easily.
So I think if Kansas City's going to win, they got to come out early and get the lead, get the advantage. But yeah, this is going to be a fun game, man. Like, I'm rooting for Mahomes because I don't want to see a Patriots-Saints Super Bowl in Atlanta where I'm forced to root for Drew Brees.
Though Brees versus Brady would be fun in a first-time Super Bowl matchup.
You think it would be fun?
Well, I mean,
fun for who, Marcus?
Either way, either quarterback in the AFC, I think, would be a fun matchup.
Yeah, I'd rather see Mahomes, obviously, because I dislike Brady. That's going to be a future rant one of these days. I'm just going to go in on Tom Brady and tell the people what the major networks are afraid to say about Tom Brady.
And what is that? System quarterback?
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I'm going to save it for the show, but, I mean, he might be kind of system-ish. Let's put it that way. It was a Jamie Foxx joke. I'm not saying Whitney smoked crack. I'm just saying she was crackish.
Crackish.
I'm not saying Brady's a system quarterback, but let's just say he kind of system-ish or systemic. ask your boy Matt Castle how he did that one year. That's all I'm going to say. Ooh. Marcus Vandenberg.
Matt did well.
Yeah, so did So did your boy Jimmy G, and I think Jacoby had some success too.
Oh, that's right. That's Where is he? He's still in Indianapolis.
I think he's still in Indy, yeah.
Why can't he just be good on his own, Nate? Why does a black man have to be part of the system?
I mean, we're all part of the system, Mark.
Well, we are.
some of us in different portions of the system. Like, there's Pat Mahomes, part of the system, and there's Lamar Jackson, part of the system.
That's true.
And on that note, that's going to be it for the A Block. Marcus, I got one question for you, though.
What's that?
Do you like hamburgers?
Hamburgers? Yes, I do.
Because I think, actually, that might be the title of this week's episode. Instead of Vandenbergers, Vandenberders. In honor of our subject for segment four. So yeah, we're going to take a – we're not taking a break. If you're listening, we're taking a break. But if you're watching, we're just going to keep these cameras rolling because that's where the magic happens.
And we're about to talk hamburgers in a second.
Yeah, we're about to talk hamburgers.
Off air.
Off air. So don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Kings of Sport.
Wide world of sports is going on here.
What's going on, party people and everybody out there in podcast land? It's your man, Nate. And we'll get back to the show in just a little while. But while we got some time, I just wanted to let you guys know the three ways you can get in touch with the Kings of Sport. Way number one, you can tweet us on Twitter, because that's where people tweet people, apparently. You can hit us up on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Way number two, you can email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. That's thekingsofsport@gmail.com. And finally, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So there you have it. Those are the three ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave feedback. You can join the discussion. Three ways you can be down with the Kings. We good, Marcus? Like, do we have to pay warranty for this? Because I ain't got G-Funk money.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to give you what you want. We have to give you what you need. And what you want and need is ratchetness. And Marcus, this week, in honor of our Patreon opening up, we're not just going to talk about regular ratchetness. We're not just even going to talk about really good ratchetness. We're going to talk about championship caliber ratchetness, brother, because this past week, even in the midst of all the strife and turmoil going on in Washington, we crowned champions, champions that had already been crowned, came to the White House to be celebrated, to be honored, Marcus Vandenberg. And for those that haven't heard the story, that they might be living under a rock, can you let the people know what they were presented with when they arrived at this prestigious event?
So, you know, it's pretty traditional at this point for your championship team to do it at the White House. And I guess it was a lot more traditional before Trump, because teams are now saying no thanks, we're good.
But, question. Before you get to the story, Marcus, do you still play like NBA, the 2K games?
Yes.
Okay, because I know when Obama was president, you would go visit Obama if you won a title, right?
I never got that far.
Oh. Because I'm wondering.
I never finished my season.
I know, like, for Madden for a few years, you would go to the White House and, like, present Obama with your jersey. And then I think in the NBA, it'd show you in the Oval Office with, like, your team, and then you'd be shaking Obama's hand. I wonder if any of the video games have done that for Trump.
Oh, zero chance.
So,
no.
So maybe you have to win a championship with a specific team to unlock Trump.
In the NBA, I mean, the Celtics, like, there's no team that,
Celtics,
like,
the Jazz.
The Jazz, yeah, the maybe. Jazz. I forgot Boston's a liberal town.
And in the Madden games, the only team that gets to unlock the Trump White House visit is the Patriots.
Yes.
And it'll be Tom Brady and Bob Kraft and Vladimir Putin. Like, how the hell did he get here? somebody's got to let us know. If you have won a championship on any of the recent NBA games or any of the recent Madden games, is Trump featured? Hit us up on Twitter, CosPod on Twitter, or on the Facebook page. Let us know. So, Marcus, getting back to the ratchetness that occurred this week, not in the digital world, but in the real world, what happened when this team was going to be honored?
Yes, so the Clemson Tigers were, I guess, you know, usually team wins and you wait a few weeks, a few months. Not Clemson. Clemson and the White House were like, let's do this tomorrow. And on Monday, the Clemson Tigers arrived to the White House to meet President Trump, and they were greeted by the finest fast food in the country, except Zaxby's, which was not represented for some reason. But
yeah, this was like every pothead's dream. every stoner's dream. Like Damian Abraham, like our buddy Damian Abraham would have a field day.
Yes.
If he walked into this room. But yeah, there's a couple things. First of all, I'm glad that you brought up how quick the turnaround was, because in my head I was like, I'm not going crazy. Like, don't teams usually wait like a month before they go?
Oh, usually more than that. Yeah, this is really fast.
Like they won the championship, went back to school, took a couple classes, and then like, all right, hop back on the plane. We're going over to see Trump.
Yeah.
But then the second thing is the way my man Trump, like, I think it was Trevor Noah, who the host of The Daily Show, who put it perfectly. He's like, the picture you have with Trump, like, holding his arms out in front of this spread of McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's, and I think it was Pizza Hut, too.
Pizza Hut was there.
Holding his hands out over this spread. He's like, that's the perfect snapshot of Donald Trump. Like, you know, because you got the candles and all the fancy stuff. Like, he wants to be a baller so bad, but at the same time, he's like real, like common when you really break it down. Like he's a baller, but he's basic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a basic baller. And so, like, did you hear what he said before they ate?
No.
The comments, the remarks to the team. He's doing the usual thing, thanking the team. I mean, congratulating the team on their win and all that. He's like, and you know what? We're in the midst of a government shutdown, but I wanted to do the best for you guys. So we got all these great American companies. We got McDonald's and we got Burger King. We got Big Macs. I like Big Macs. I know you like Big Macs. We got Big Macs and Whoppers, the greatest food available. And I did that for you guys out of my own pocket. It's your president, Marcus.
I mean, this is like a new low, right? Is there anything charming about what he did?
If he were not Donald Trump, like let's not even put this on Obama, because that's an unfair comparison.
George Bush.
Yeah, I was
gonna say, if George Bush did this.
If George W. Bush was like, you know, hey guys, we're in the midst of a, you know, government shutdown, but you know what? I appreciate all that you guys did out there on the field, and you know what? We're gonna have a good old fashioned fast food. We're gonna have some Wendy's and some McDonald's. I think it would be less,
insulting
than when Trump did it. Because with Bush, at least, like I could see George Bush be like, you know, hey guys, don't tell Dabo, but I got a case of beer in the back. When these cameras disappear, we can go back there and have some drinks. Like, I could see George Bush doing that. Whereas with Donald Trump, this was, against, when you put it against the backdrop of a shutdown that's almost at a month, that he is to blame for. And for the people out there that might be on the other side of the aisle, I'm not saying this to blame him. I'm saying what Trump said. Trump said, put the blame on me. But he's like that one song Akon did when he got in trouble messing with that little girl in the club that he didn't know was under 18. Remember he put out that song like, I apologize?
Yeah.
But it was like, you can put the blame on me even though the blame's on you. I'll take the blame. Like, that's not really being accountable if you're still pointing fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is, again, Trump trying to spin something where, like, just little things like, I took this money out of my own pocket. You know, no, you didn't. You know, you got these companies. Probably, you know, they probably got a good, nice little tax write-off. A little. You scratch my back, I scratch yours for this. You know, this is what real Americans eat. And you know, I like fast food as much as the next person, Marcus. But if I'm coming to Washington D.C. to eat at the White House, anybody's White House, Obama's, Bush's, President Ocasio-Cortez 10 years from now, I'm not coming in for some damn fast food, Marcus Vandenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Even Chick-fil-A, which I think might be one of the top, you know, don't let Zaxby's hear me say that, but even Chick-fil-A, I think they might be at the top of the fast food chain. You're not having me out there for this. In-N-Out. Nah, you're not having me out here for damn some animal-style fries at the White House. Come on, man.
What about a taco truck?
That actually, you know what, Marcus? If Trump, see, this is why you should be You should talk to Chris and see if you can get into any campaigns and be like a political strategist. Because if you really wanted to frame this as helping out the people, Trump would have found like some out of taco trucks that aren't making money right now, that you know usually serve people on the Hill, and they're not making money because the government shut down. Trump brings the food trucks out and lets them, like, they have it on the lawn, and you know it's a big dinner, fancy music and lights, and they got all these food trucks like in a circle, and the players can eat whatever they want. That would have been a better move from an optics perspective than have all this damn fast food sitting on the table.
Yeah, I think that would have done over better too.
And they didn't. Here's the thing, Marcus. They didn't even take the fast. Like they didn't even plate it right. Like they just had boxes.
They put the boxes. I mean, I did like the dipping sauces in the fancy china.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. But classy. I think it was one picture. I think it was one of the linemen just had a stack of Big Macs on his plate still in the boxes. I'm just like, come on, man. This is what we doing right now.
This is where I miss Deces and Mero, because they would have had a field day of that segment. Especially with the filet of fish that were sitting there uneaten. Yeah. You don't want cold filet of fish, man.
No.
That is a bad time.
And that's the other thing. Like, McDonald's is McDonald's. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not world-class food, but in a pinch it'll do. But it's not something that you can put out an hour before the meal and have it still be good. Like, you got to have warming trays and, like...
At least do that. At least put some heat lamps out there or something.
Like, I came all the way up here after we won the championship. We beat, arguably, the greatest coach in college football history, one of the best quarterbacks he's ever had, and you serving me a lukewarm quarter pounder, dog?
Well, the thing I did not hear about was, did any players not go to the White House?
I was going to just ask you that same thing. I was like, Did we see a lot of black players in that team photo?
I didn't see the photo, but I'm assuming if you're not a senior, if you are a senior, you're probably still running a risk if it comes out that you skipped the White House and you're trying to get selected in the NFL draft. But privately, I do wonder what those guys did think about. I mean, I'm sure at some point it just turns into like, this is going to be a story for the ages.
Yeah.
But before they even got to the White House, I wonder what the team's thought was. I'm sure Dabo was all about this. Just based on his personality.
Yeah.
But the players, I do wonder privately what that discussion was like.
If I were one of the black players for the Clemson Tigers, I think I would have gone, especially if I'm an underclassman, because you don't want to, you know, make trouble for yourself next season. I would have gone, but when everybody's lining up to eat, and this is going to be a real treat for the people watching on the Patreon video stream, I would have gone up there, and I would have got my tray, and then Trump's like, "How you doing?" I would have just took a knee like Kaepernick, and seen how that would have gone.
You've had a short night.
That would have I'd have been crazy. And I mean, I don't want to get, again, we've got a whole separate show on the Patreon feed to talk politics, Marcus, but this to me is another example again, and I'm gonna compare Trump to George W. Bush. You can have a lot of disagreements with George W. Bush's policies, but at the end of the day, he felt like a real dude, like a real person. Like, even if you have philosophical differences, even if you know, you like Kanye and you think George Bush don't care about black people, he felt like a real human being, whereas Donald Trump feels like a cartoon character, like somebody that's detached from reality, somebody that's like, you know what? What do kids like to eat in college? Hamburgers. So if I have a whole room full of hamburgers, they'll love me.
There had to be a couple of guys that were tickled by this, right? Some of the linemen.
I mean, I'm not knocking it, though, because I know... Here's the thing, though, because this is kind of like a buffet. So would they frown upon you if you took food home?
Oh, college kids, probably not.
Okay, because see, I would have like, this is why they would have hated me on Clemson. They would have kicked me to the curb like Kelly Bryant, because I would have gone in there, I would have not shaken the president's hand, I would have been like holding up a black fist in the team photo, and I would have gone in and like took, I would have, you can have all the McDonald's, you can have all the Burger Kings. I might take a double stack or two from Wendy's, but I'm going to be over there at the Pizza Hut. Like, it's like a supermarket suite. Don't waste your time on the small stuff. Go for the big money items.
Get the hams. Get the turkeys.
Anybody see Nate? And then you see me walking out of the West Wing with like six pieces. Wonder if it's like that Pizza Hut pan pizza with the garlic on the crust.
I also wonder if there are, you know, diet restrictions. I can't do dairy. I can't do cheese. Was everything just like,
oh man,
imagine double quarter pounders with cheese?
I was gonna say, because we didn't see any salads or anything.
No,
like that.
No, they had salads.
Oh, they had
McDonald's salads still in the containers. They can't even take it out. They didn't even take the salad out. They had salads.
Because everybody goes to McDonald's for their salads. I can't tell you the last time I had a salad at McDonald's.
I've never had a salad at McDonald's.
Like, there are some, like, Wendy's has good salads. I'll give, yeah, you know, Wendy, I'll give Wendy's that. But they're like, I think I might have had a salad at McDonald's when I was still in high school and I was wrestling. And mm-hmm. I was like trying to make weight. But no, that's been like 20 years since I had a Wendy's salad. I mean, a McDonald's salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if you had like vegans? Are they stuck at the sad end of the Trump table and everybody else is over here eating burgers and pizza and it's like a kicker and the long snapper and they just eating salads together?
And did they have dessert? Do you know?
You know what would be great? If they just had like one big vat of McDonaldland cookies.
The cookies are good though.
Or apple pies. Just a big basket of hot apple pies. Everybody take one.
Just one. Pass it down.
Just one. Oh, Burger King's got those like those ice cream pies, don't they?
I don't think like ice cream would hold up in that room.
No, you're probably right. Yeah.
Surprised you're saying like donuts or something ridiculous.
Frosties wouldn't last in that room.
No.
McFlurries wouldn't last.
Let me see if I can find an answer to this.
Here's a question, Marcus. I mean, obviously we have an opinion of being the age we are now, but if you were in college, say this was a militant Marcus Vandenberg and Hofstra,
mm-hmm.
You know, throwing shade at Tyra Banks on the internet, and let's say you won an award for being the best writer on the internet, and your prize was to go to a White House dinner, and let's make this George W. Bush, even though I know the time frame doesn't add up, I don't think.
No, it does, because Obama was 08, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
yeah, still, I was. Yeah, yeah, he was still around.
So let's say George W. Bush, Marcus, you did a really good job on that article. I don't like America's Next Top Model either. We're inviting you to the White House. You got an all expenses paid dinner, so you go up there, you're expecting a fancy dinner, and George W. Bush opens up the White House doors in the dining room, and it's a table full of White Castle. How would you feel about that?
Why you got to say White Castle? even White Castle wasn't good enough to appear at the White House for the Clemson guys. Even Donald Trump knows. All right, there's a line that shall now be crossed, and that line includes White Castle and Crystal.
It's a table full of sliders. Yes, Crystal, the White Castle of the South.
Yes.
But what if it was In-N-Out? What if he had a whole room full of In-N-Out? Would you feel offended, or would you be excited as a young college student?
Oh, I would be, if I was going to school in New York and I came to the White House and found In-N-Out, I would be thrilled. Don't have In-N-Out back east, so I would be suspect about how did the In-N-Out arrive in D.C. from, I don't know, Texas, but assuming it was on the up and up, I'd be happy.
Assuming George Bush wasn't trying to pull a fast one?
Yeah. Or even if it was Fatburger, if he managed to find Fatburger.
If he had Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, would you find that racially offensive?
I would.
But you'd eat it, though.
I'm not a Roscoe's fan, so I would eat it, but I wouldn't be happy.
I'm trying to make an outreach. Kanye's words affected me deeply. I wanted to reach out to your people. Just give the chicken and waffles. Did you find what you were looking for?
I can't find any signs of desserts. So,
yeah, they probably had some cookies or like something. You know that like the cake at Walmart that's not really a cake. It's like slices of like lemon bread.
Yeah,
probably had that
on a tray. Yeah,
right, on a tray. It's a great American company. So yeah, that's Donald Trump. I would say your tax dollars at work, but at this point, I don't know who's manning the IRS.
Yeah, speaking of the government, as someone who's set to fly through America's busiest airport tomorrow morning, TSA might need to, you know, not TSA, I should say, the government might want to get back to work before next Monday, which is the start of Super Bowl week, which in Atlanta is going to, I think, cause some serious headaches.
It's crazy, Marcus, because the shutdown is because of the government and Trump wanting more security on the borders, but because the government shut down, the TSA agents can't work, and so our airports are less secure, and it's almost like he doesn't care about security. He just wants to punish brown people, but I don't want to get into that, Marcus. I'm just trying to piece things together.
Yes, it's I am curious to see. I don't see this ending anytime soon, however.
Oh, but I will say one thing though, Marcus. If you do have a rough time getting through security, you have to post a video like Vince Russo shooting on the Atlanta TSAs.
I will do my best.
They wouldn't let me finish my chicken palm, bro. Oh man, it's only, what, 3 weeks in? Are we 3 weeks into the year yet?
We are 3 weeks in. It'll be 3 weeks on Monday.
3 weeks into the new year on Martin Luther King Day, and it's already crazy. So hopefully the government will be back up.
We're almost at a month, and
that's the thing. Is Trump fueled by, I don't want to be the president with the shutdown that lasted over a month, or will he see that like he's trying to break a record?
Oh, he's already broken. This is the longest shutdown on record.
Yeah, but a month is like a milestone. Like, it's like hitting 500 home runs. Like,
if I had to guess when this will be wrapped up, I would say early February, maybe.
I was gonna say before or after WrestleMania.
No, after the Rumble.
After the Rumble?
Yeah.
Because Trump's going to be this the 30th man.
You think Trump still watches wrestling?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'd read that story.
Do him and Linda McMahon have, like, Raw parties?
Do they, like, book Raw on the side? Like, tell Vince this is what I would do?
They hang out on Mondays and Tuesdays watching Raw in the Oval Office.
Does Linda still watch wrestling?
I don't think so. Like, I think... You haven't heard a lot from Linda ever since she got that appointment.
Not a word.
Linda's like, hey, if you get jammed up, don't mention my name.
Yeah.
We haven't heard a scene from Linda in a hot minute.
Last I've ever seen from Linda was, I think, inauguration day or her inauguration day when Triple H and the family showed up.
The whole family was up there, yep.
But since then?
I mean, you can say a lot of things about Linda. Being stupid in one of them, and she probably notices a lot of her coworkers getting caught up in certain investigations, and she don't want no part of that.
Well, not only that, but she is still working for him, and she has not quit and or been fired. So, I guess it's a win. I don't know.
The only ones left are going to be Linda and Ben Carson when it's all said and done.
Man, Ben.
You's my only friend, Mr. Trump. Oh, I just turned Ben Carson into a slave. let's get out of here before we get into any more trouble, Marcus.
Yes.
Let the people know where they can find you on social media, where they can maybe give you some. How long are you going to be in Atlanta for?
Till Tuesday.
Till Tuesday, okay. So maybe they can give you some tips on other places to eat so you won't have to stoop to crystals.
No crystals. I did not go to the Varsity last time.
Oh, yeah, you got to go by the Varsity.
So I got to do the Varsity. I have to do the cookout.
Yep, cookout's always good.
And I'll have to figure out a couple other places to go to. But if you want to send me any recommendations, you can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
You can find me on Twitter at N8, MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Like the show, rate the show, review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Google Podcast. There's one more. Stitcher Radio. Or wherever you get your podcast from. And most importantly, share the show with your friends. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, and the Kings of Sport Patreon. If you're seeing us, you obviously know where that is. But if you're listening and don't have access to the videos, then you need to get up on that. I'm just saying, it's a whole different experience. I might come out here like Woody Page and come out with different suits and maybe have a blackboard behind me with funny sayings every week. see how far we can take this gimmick. But yeah, in addition to that, Marcus alluded to earlier, if you're a fan of movies or you're a fan of wrestling or a fan of wrestling movies, check out the Rocky Maivia Picture Show with Post Wrestling. First episode went up today, featuring myself and Brian Mann talking about The Scorpion King, Dwayne Johnson's debut from 2002. Check that out on Post Wrestling. I've got a bunch of great guests lined up that I've already got penciled into certain movies. I'm trying to book Marcus for Gridiron Gang because I think it has a sports theme to it, but also, you know, that gritty urban California lifestyle is something that, you know, Marcus can give us some insight on coming up through
struggle. That's what people think when they think of me. They think gritty.
The Inglewood up to no good.
Yes.
Yeah, so Rocky Maivia Picture Show, check that out. And did I announce the Kevin Kelly thing on the air yet?
No.
Okay, have I even told you?
No.
Okay, well, Kevin Kelly, the voice of New Japan, former Ring of Honor announcer, former WWF announcer, is launching a podcast network. And I got a new show with a couple other people called Chain Reaction, and it's going to be a reaction show to every WWE pay-per-view. So we're debuting after the Royal Rumble, January 27th, and it's going to be on the Kevin Kelly Network. I'm not sure when it officially goes live, but you can follow Kevin Kelly on Twitter, and I'm sure he'll let you know when that drops.
How many more shows do you need?
Look, I'm like Trump. I need all the shows. I want people to walk into the room, and I'll have all my shows lined up on the table like so many quarter pounders.
And you're doing this after every WWE show or every major wrestling show?
After every WWE show. Like, because okay. I was given the option to do it after every show, and I was like, I'm already probably taking on too much, but, you know, I like Kevin a lot. You know, we've talked to him a couple times. I need to get him on this show.
Yeah, we have not talked to him. You have talked to Kevin Kelly.
I mean, you have friends that I haven't talked to, Marcus, so
let's... Wow.
Why don't you and your friends get with me and my friends?
Well, sir. All right. We'll try to make that happen.
Be friends. All right. Yeah. We'll talk about that off the air.
Okay.
But that's going to do it for this week. Again, shout out to everybody that has joined the Patreon and those that will, because this will be up whenever you join to see this. I think we're going to have some fun with this, Marcus.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yep, should be fun. So stay tuned for that, and then we'll be back next week where we will be gearing up for the Super Bowl.
Our Super Bowl preview?
Yeah, Super Bowl preview. Maybe we'll have to get somebody in for that.
Or actually, the preview could be, I guess, in 2 weeks, right? Let's see.
That's right. We will have a week in between.
It could be in 2 weeks, yeah. So our Pro Bowl preview. That's actually, We can talk the Rumble next week.
I was going to say, yeah, we can do a Rumble preview, and then the next week we'll do a Super Bowl preview.
Yeah.
That'll work. That'll work. So, yeah, we might even get somebody in for the Rumble preview. Who knows? We'll see. We'll play it by ear. But, yeah, thanks for watching if you're watching on the Patreon feed. Thanks for listening if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast or Kings of Sport Classic. That's how we'll rebrand it, Marcus. you're not getting less. You're just getting the classic version of the show.
Actually, no, yeah. The classic version of the show is it's a whole other story.
Yeah, we could have done the video when the show first started.
Lights out. All right, let's go.
there you go with that Patrick Mahomes stuff again, Marcus Vandenberg.
Hey.
So that's going to do it. Marcus, have a safe trip, and I'll holler at you next week, brother.
Thank you.
And each and every one of you, have a safe holiday weekend, because it is a holiday, even if some of us have to work on Monday. So have fun, and we'll be back next week with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. I was going to go with ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. But then I was like, where's the beef would be a good one. But I think I'll split the difference and go Burger King.
Okay.
Have it your way. Oh, it does. Yeah, it works because the Kings and the you don't get this on every show. Have it your way because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat. Cause that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!